Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We're going to zoom in now on one community along the U.S.-Mexico border because your perspective on the issue of immigration often depends on where you are. Texas is shouldering a surge of unaccompanied migrant children. Federal agents are allowing them in, but they've run out of beds in towns like McAllen. In Yuma, Arizona, Republican Mayor Douglas Nichols says his problem is different. He says federal agents have dropped off 1,700 migrants in his area since February, almost all of them trying to go to other places while their asylum cases are processed. But getting them the services they need has been a challenge. I recently spoke with Mayor Nichols and asked him who exactly is ending up in his community.
So they're primarily families, but there are single adults. They generally are from countries that don't have the ability to either repatriate right away, or they do have some sort of asylum or credible fear claim. Unaccompanied minors, while the numbers are up, those are not released into the community. Those are actually go through the HHS system.
And can you help me understand, my impression was that the Biden administration, for the most part, was sending migrants, even families, back over the border and not allowing them in the country. So how is it that they've come to be released in Yuma?
So what that has to do with, it depends on the country of origin. So if they are from Mexico, Title 42 is still enacted, and so they're able to return families or repatriate families and individuals immediately.
And Title 42 is the public health measure under the Trump administration, which basically says we're in a health emergency, nobody's coming in.
Title 42, I believe, is a permanent title. Just because we're in a pandemic, that's the reason that is enacted. As far as the other countries that are releasing, they're like, for example, Cuba, we don't have diplomatic relations with Cuba. So if Cubans are coming through, they need to be accommodated in the country or in the process somewhere until some determination can be made.
I see. So 1,700 migrants like this, have been dropped off in your city since February. Many of them quickly move on from the Yuma area to other places like shelters in Tucson, right?
That is correct. The problem is we do not have very many transportation opportunities out of Yuma unless you're buying an airline ticket. The Greyhound bus station here is not a station. It's actually a bench, and there's one bus a day that leaves Yuma. So with the reduced ability to get transportation out of the community, all we've done is created an extra step in the process for the migrants to get into Yuma, find a way out of Yuma, and then find a way onto their final destination, as opposed to working within the DHS system and releasing only in communities that have that robust transportation options and all the infrastructure that goes along with it.
Well, the city of Tucson might be an example of one of those places, and there's a shelter there. I was visiting recently, speaking with Diego Javier Peña López. He's the program manager for Casa Alitas, and I asked him how he would describe the flow of migrants in Arizona. Here's what he said.
There's not very many people sitting out here and such, and even walking through the space. I'm not seeing that surge that we've all heard so much about. Currently, the numbers are not out of control wild. It's just where people are being released is a little unsettling at times.
So Diego there, agreeing with you that it doesn't seem wise to drop the migrants in places like Yuma. But what do you think about the other thing he's saying there, that at least in Arizona, he's not really seeing wild numbers, a huge surge?
For Yuma, we're a community of little over 200,000 people. And so if you have 1,700 people in a month, and if our nonprofit network ceases to be able to operate effectively, those are real numbers in our community. I think for a community like Yuma, this is an issue, and it's something that we need to be proactive. And if we just wait, it's like waiting for a hurricane to hit in order to prepare.
You've spoken with the Biden administration, I would presume. What did you hear from them? Have they been helpful?
So, yes, I did speak to the Biden administration. The result of that call was a trip to Yuma by FEMA and DHS medical officials to see firsthand the situation and talk to the community and to talk about funding and how the FEMA funding could support the nonprofit situation and setup that we've got going on. I'd say it's a good start. I think there's a long way to go.
Well, as you know, as someone who lives there, that this issue has become so politicized across the country over the last couple of months, as it often does. What is your message to people who don't live at the border that would help them understand what's actually happening there?
The best thing you can do is come visit. Nothing replaces putting eyes on exactly what's happening. But we need to look at the situation from an order of magnitude perspective. In 2019, we had 5,200 people come through our nonprofit network in 3 months. We're a month in, we're at 1,700. So we're starting to track roughly the same. That was all hands on deck to make sure that we had everything addressed and that the community could continue to operate as every community should be able to, and that the humanitarian needs for the people themselves of the migrants and of the community are taken care of.
Mayor Nichols, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Douglas Nichols is mayor of Yuma, Arizona.